Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Judges, chapter 4. Judges, chapter 4, we pick it up at verse 1. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. And for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at the time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded? Go, let us march and deploy troops at Mount Tabor. Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon. And I will deliver him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." So she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command. And Deborah went up with him. This people, according to the text, evil in the sight of the Lord, wrongdoing, sin. This people sold into the hand of the king of Canaan. Their manner was not acceptable in the sight of the Lord. A wayward people. Cry out to the Lord. People and for people and for a people. Cry out to the Lord, children. Cry out to the Lord. It was a time of harsh oppression. And what of our time and times? You know, evil results in oppression. No matter the scope, no matter the size, no matter the bite. Harsh oppression. And the less harsh, the full scale, even that oppression which plays like it's not oppressive. Well, it was a time of harsh oppression, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. A prophetess was judging Israel at the time, and the word of the Lord came. "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops, and against you I will deploy Sisera with chariots and his multitude at the river, and I will deliver him into your hand." The word of the Lord, "Go, and I will deliver you." You know, this was no time to stand still. The text, Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. Judges 4, 11 to 16. Now, Hira the Kenite, the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites, from the Kenites, and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree, Zaanim, which is beside Kadesh. And they reported to Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Up, that is, arise, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim. And all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. The deliverance of the Lord. An incredible deliverance. And might we hear the word of the Lord this day? Up, arise, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? What a victory. What a mighty deliverance. The routing of the Lord, all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man left. Praise God. We will get to the tent soon enough. Judges 4, 17 to 20. However, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside. Turn aside, my lord. Turn aside to me. Do not fear." And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. And he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you and says, 'Is there any man here?' you shall say, 'No.'" Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of this enemy commander. This devil on the run. You know, where does a devil on the run, a tired and weary devil, run to? In this case, a place he thought he would find peace. Not so much dealing with the specifics, drawing application concerning our lives. You know, sometimes a tired and weary devil shows up when the army of the Lord has wreaked havoc. When the Lord has brought deliverance, sometimes a thirsty devil shows up at the tent. At our tent. Devil on the run. Ever been there? Experienced this? Has one ever shown up at your tent? Has he ever shown up at your tent? You know, like after a great victory, after a great deliverance. Devil at your tent. What do you do when a devil's at your tent? What do you do when the devil's at your tent? Someone saying, "Don't invite him in." But what if it was necessary? In this case, it was. You know, it's not over till Sisera is dead. This invite, this invitation, was not an invitation of peace, this invite, this invitation was not an invitation of goodwill. The Wycliffe Bible jail went out into the coming of Caesar and said to him, "My Lord, enter thou to me, enter thou to me, dread not." And he entered into her tabernacle, and he was covered of her with a mantle. And he went into her tent, and she covered him with a cloak. And he said to her, "I beseech thee, give me a little water, for I thirst greatly, for I have great thirst." And she opened a bottle of milk and gave it to him to drink, and then she covered him up again. The Message paraphrase reads, Caesar, running for his life, headed to the tent of jail, wife of Heber, the Kenite. Jabin, king of Hazor, and Heber, the Kenite, were on good terms with one another. Jael stepped out to meet Caesar and said, "Come in, sir. Stay here with me. Don't be afraid." So he went with her into her tent. She covered him with a blanket. He said to her, "Please, a little water. I'm thirsty." She opened a bottle of milk, gave him a drink, and then covered him up again. He then said, "Stand at the tent flap. If anyone comes by and asks you, 'Is there anyone here?' tell him, 'No. No, not a soul.'" No cordial invitation. Though Caesar might have thought it so. And so he enters, and there he is. He's covered with a blanket. He's covered with a cloak. He's covered with a mantle. Spirit, speak. "I beseech thee, give me a little water, for I thirst greatly, for I have a great thirst." You know, people of God, it's no time for water when an enemy needs to be put to rest. It's no time for water when an enemy needs to be put to bed. It's not over. The deliverance is not yet complete. Milk. She opened a bottle of milk. She opened a jug of milk. She opened a bottle of milk and gave it to him to drink, and then she covered him up again. Cover me up. Don't tell anyone. The Voice Bible, stand and wait. At the opening to the tent, if anybody comes and asks you, "Is anyone inside?" tell them, "No." The Living Bible, if anyone comes by looking for me, tell them that no one is here. Give rest to a devil. Give covering to a devil. Lie for a devil. Protect a devil. Caesar, the name means battle array, field of battle. When your tent becomes a field of battle, tent, nomad's tent, symbolic of a wilderness life, transience, dwelling, home, habitation, and also the secret tent of Jehovah, the tabernacles. When our tent becomes the field of battle, she opened a bottle of milk, gave him a drink, then covered him up again. He then said, "Stand at the tent flap. If anyone comes by and asks you, 'Is there anyone here?' just tell them, 'No. Not a soul.'" Judges 4, 21 to 22, then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple, and it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And then as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, "Come. Come, I will show you the man whom you seek. And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with the peg in his temple. The Wycliffe Bible, so Jael, the wife of Heber, took a nail of the tabernacle. I love that. And she took also a hammer, and she entered privily. And with silence, she put the nail upon the temple of his head. And she fastened the nail smitten with the hammer into his brain under the earth. And he slept and died together, and he failed life and was dead. And then Jael, Heber's wife, got a tent peg, and she also got a hammer. And she quietly entered and silently put the peg on the temple of his head and struck it with the hammer into his brain. And she fastened the other end of the peg into the ground, and so he died in his sleep. His life failed, and he died. And lo, Barak had followed Sisera and came up to the tent, and Jael went out into his coming and said to him, "Come, and I will show to you the man whom thou seekest." And when he had entered to her, he saw Sisera lying dead, and a nail fastened into his temples, and the tent peg fastened into his temple. Jael, mountain goat of a judge or heroic person of a resolute woman. My God, for some mountain types. For those that can judge right. For a heroic people. For the resolute. A nomad's tent. This wilderness life, a life transient, dwelling, home, habitation. Hear and feel the directing of the Spirit today. The secret tent, the secret place, a devil in your tent, the devil in your tent. Put a nail, a peg through his head. And you're like, pull a peg? Pull a peg? And someone's saying, the tent will flap. It won't be as set, will it? Strike. Do it. Drive it into the temple, into the brain, through the temples. Weak and weakened. Strike now. Before he gains strength, rouses, and pins you to the earth, he would love to put a peg through your temple, through your mind, through your brain, pin you to the ground, ground you, pin you down. You know, this is no pin the tail on the donkey. This is pin the peg in the devil. Pin the peg on the devil. Pin the nail through the devil. You know what? By the Spirit of the Lord today, get a mantle, get an anointing, get a bottle of milk, a purity, get a nail, an edge, sharp and piercing, get a hammer, the word of God, a word from God. The New Century Version says she covered him with a rug. I don't mind this translation. Covered him with the rug. And you know, it's there in the New King James Version footnote. Covered him with the rug. Not pushed him under the rug. A prayer rug. You know, we got a lot of addicts in this old world, but I'm believing for a generation of rug addicts. Sisera. Field of battle. Battle array. You know what? She knew the capability of this man. She knew the strength. This commander of an army. Beware the devil. Beware the tired and weary devil. Beware the thirsty devil. Beware the sleeping devil. You know, the woman had a husband. Heber, and his name means comrade, fellowship, association, a house in common. Isn't this something? Oh, that this would be the case in right order, in proper order. Imagine every home represented in this place, every union. Hopefully our spouse is a comrade. I mean, like a true one. Fellowship, association, a house in common, so beautiful. You know, God used this woman, God used this housewife to take down a military commander. The news today is that God uses ordinary people. You're saying, oh, it's not true, and there's a housewife saying, oh, it's not true. God uses ordinary people. But you got to be willing to act. You got to be willing to move. You need a mantle. You need a purity. You need an edge. You need a word from God. You need the word of God. Judges 5:24-27, most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Blessed is she among women in tents. He asked for water, she gave milk. She brought out cream in a lordly bowl. She stretched her hand to the tent peg, her right hand to the workman's hammer. She pounded Sisera and pierced his head. She split and struck through his temple. At her feet he sank. He fell. He lay still. At her feet he sank. He fell. Where he sank, there he fell. Dead. Verse 31, thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength. And this is how it finishes. So the land had rest for 40 years. Perhaps it's time to act, to move, to get a mantle, to get a purity, to get an edge, that your land might have rest for 40 years. You know, perhaps there's a devil in our tent and not tired, not weary. God will help us if we will cry out to him. If we will follow his orders, if we are ready and if we are serious, he will tell us how to deal with the situation and the situations. He will be God to us and he will bring about deliverance. A mantle, a bottle of milk, a tent nail, a hammer. Up! For this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera, a field of battle, into your hand. A sleeping devil in our tent, a resting devil, a covered up devil, a hidden devil. You know, could this speak? Could this represent sin? Sin covered up. No mantle, but a blanket. No milk of purity, but milk of feeding, nurturing. No nail in hand, just nails in the earth, and the hammer displaced, the word of God displaced, no word from God. And what of this? Has it ever happened that after a victory of the Lord, a deliverance, that a devil has shown up at your tent? You know, like after a powerful service in the house of the Lord. Like after you've experienced deliverance, after you've settled things, after you've made a strong commitment, after You've consecrated yourself off to our tent, into our tent, and the devil shows up. The words of David Wilkerson: perhaps you have recently renewed your commitment to pray with all diligence, or perhaps you have consecrated your mind and body to God as a living sacrifice. You've cried out, I'm not going halfway anymore. I'm giving everything I have to Jesus. These kinds of commitments stir up the devil's wrath as nothing else does. He knows that anyone whose life is wholly given to God is a great threat to his kingdom. The moment he sees true devotion in us, a desire to be set free from sin, a determination to put off all foolishness and put on Christ, then he knows his time is short. He knows there will be only a brief period before we are out of his clutches and walking in glory, operating by faith, living in victory. That's when he starts throwing everything in hell at us. Revelation 12 is telling us, go ahead, Christian, step out of your lethargy, yield your body to Jesus as a living sacrifice. Seek God with all that is within you, but be prepared to face the trial of your life, because Satan will come at you with all his might. Satan knows your weak spots, and he will try to carry you away in a flood of trials and temptations. He is frantic because he sees you on the brink of victory and he knows his time is short. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are to constantly be aware that the devil is out to destroy us. Therefore, Paul says, we need to know as much as we can about the enemy's tactics and plans, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices, 2 Corinthians 2:11. Peter gives us this warning: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And you say, not me. This does not mean the devil is hovering in the cosmos somewhere, giving orders to his demonic hosts. We know that Satan was cast down to earth when Christ defeated him at the cross. Thus, the devil's kingdom is limited to here and now. See Revelation 12:9. Contrary to the thinking of some believers, some Christians, Satan does not possess omnipotent power. He has been defeated by Jesus and stripped of all authority. Nor is Satan omniscient, meaning that he cannot read minds, and he is not omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere at one time. He is limited to being one place at any time. But Satan does. Satan does have principalities and powers stationed throughout the earth, and his host of demons feed him intelligence at his beck and call. They hear when you pray, and they see your obedience to God, and that is what stirs up Satan's wrath against you. Well, seeing we're talking about tents today, don't pitch your tent towards Sodom. Genesis 13:10-18, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said to Abram, after the Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it into thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then thy seed also. And shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. other translations, as far as Sodom, near Sodom. Sodom means burning. A Canaanite city usually paired with Gomorrah, located in the area of the Dead Sea and the Jordan River. Both cities destroyed by God in judgment, volcanic to scorch, as proverbial for open sin. Now he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and if you know the text, if you know the Bible, just a few chapters later, Lot is living in Sodom. Don't move your tent into Sodom. This is not your lot in life. Don't make it your lot in life and your tent of a life. Don't let it be your lot in life. It's not the plot you want. But you know, I guess the good news is this. The good news today would be that if you are living in Sodom, there's an Abraham interceding. There are Abrahams interceding. To God that you would be rescued, you and your household delivered before it's too late. And that the members of your family won't take you for a joker as you call for an exodus. That you'd make haste. That your spouse or any other not look back. Wrong kind of salt. Move your tent. And come and dwell in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and build there an altar unto the Lord. Mamre means strength of fatness. Hebron, association, conjunction, joining, the city of the friend of the merciful God. Right association and association with the Lord. This can be our lot. This, our lot in life, if we choose the right plot and the right plot on earth, the right plot in earth, the text. Back to our text. Barak pursued Sisera. Jael came out to meet him and said to him, "Come, I will show you. I will show you the man whom you seek." And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with the peg in his temple. Imagine a cover-up. A covering. And imagine if she would have come out that day and lied to the man. Is there anyone here? No. No one. Not a soul. And I can see a person, a caring person at the threshold of a tent this day. Lightning, thunderbolt, glittering sword. A godly person, a God-fearing person, and they've come. They've come to help. They've come to help you. A pursuer, and the Lord has moved upon them. They come with care and concern. They come by the direction of the Spirit of God. If there's a cover-up happening and you've come out to meet the person, is there anyone here? How do we respond? If there's a cover-up happening, a covering up happening, and someone's come to help, someone's come to our tent and they're saying, "Is there anyone here?" Let's answer, "Yes, a pig in a blanket." Friend, the Lord has sent me. Go get a nail and a hammer. Go get a nail and a hammer. And by God, some need to hear that today. Go get a nail and a hammer. You haven't got a nail and a hammer. You haven't gone. You don't quite have the mantle. You don't quite have the purity, but someone's come to your tent. You don't quite have the edge, but someone's trying to help you. Someone's been praying for you. Go and get a hammer and a nail. It's time. This cover-up has to end. Or it'll be the end of you. And you're like, no, I'm going to manage. I'm okay with the devil in my tent. Can you imagine? I mean, even think of a parent. I don't know of one parent, one God-fearing parent that would say, I'm okay with the devil in my tent. Like a dirt devil's one thing, that's a vacuum cleaner. But you got to get rid of the dirty devil. The cover-up has to end. There's too much covering up going on. Let's have the worship ministry return. You know, this would all serve today to paint a picture, to paint the picture of a sinner growing uneasy under the yoke of bondage and oppression. A sinner discontented and going to war with his sins. This sinner is sick of the oppression, sick of the oppressor. And so they cry out. They cry out to the living God. They're crying out to Jesus to war with sins, and by God's grace and the work of the great commander, Jesus Christ, to a great extent, a deliverance, soul saved, full out miracle. Such a deliverance. But is there a sleeping devil in the tent? You want to know the truth? One might show up soon after receiving, hearing this message. And commitment and consecration has been made. It's a warning by the grace and mercy and loving kindness of our God. The Lord sees and the Lord knows. He wants to help us today. He wants to help you today up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Caesar, a field of battle, into your hand. And to the sinner today outside of Jesus Christ, perhaps during our time together this day, you've been growing uneasy. You see the oppression. You recognize the oppressor. You can be free today. It can happen now. The army of sins you know as your own can be terminated. Everyone. And Sisera, your tent of a life that will one day be folded up. Will it find ground in glory? Too much messing around on this side of eternity. Welcome to the field of battle. The words of Charles Spurgeon, come hither, come hither. I stand at the door today, not of a tent, but of a tomb. And as I stand here, I say to the sinner who is anxious to know how his sins might be killed, how his corruption may be slain, come, come, and I will show you the man whom thou seekest. And when you shall come in, you shall see your sins lying dead and the nails in their temples. Sinner, the sin thou dreadest is forgiven. Thou hast wept sore before God, and thou hast cast thyself on Christ and on Christ alone. In the name of him who is the eternal God, I assure thee that thy sins are all forgiven. From the book of God's remembrance, they are blotted out. They are as clean gone as the clouds that floated through the sky last year and distilled their showers on the ground. Thy sins are gone, every one of them. The sin over which thou hast wept, the sin which caused thee many a tear, is gone and is forgiven. Further, Dost thou ask where thy sin is? I tell thee, thy sin is gone, so that it never can be recalled. Thou art so forgiven that thy sins can never have a resurrection. The nail is not driven through the hands of thy sins, but through their temples. If thou shouldest live twice 10,000 years, no sin could ever be laid to thy charge again. If thou believest in Christ Jesus, thou hast no conscience of sin left. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed thy transgressions from thee. God hath spoken and said, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven, and it is done. None can reverse the sentence. He has cast thy sins into the depth of the sea, and they can never be found again. Nay, further, sinner, for thy peace and comfort, thy sins are not only forgiven and killed so that they cannot rise again, but thy sins have ceased to be. Their dead bodies, like the body of Moses, are brought where they can never be found. More than this, they do not exist again. Again, O child of God, there doth not remain so much as a shadow of sin. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect, much less prove it against them? What dog can wag his tongue to accuse, much less what witness shall rise up to condemn? God hath justified thee, O sinner, if thou believest, and if thou art so justified, thou art as much accepted in God's sight as if thou hadst never sinned. Come hither. Come hither, and I will show you the man whom you seek. Come. Come hither, and I will show you the man whom you seek. Here he lies, dead, slain by the hammer and the nail, held not in the hand of a woman, but in the hand of the seed of the woman, the man Christ. Jesus, up. Rise, for this day the Lord has delivered. This is the day. You know, Jesus took hammer and nail. Jesus took the hammer and the nail. In his hands, through his feet, pierced for our transgressions. And you know, those very hands, they're stretched out today. They're reaching out today. An invitation to welcome and embrace. And those same feet that were pierced, inviting us and calling us to follow, come walk with Jesus, and he will be our guide. He will lead us. He will be God to us. And he holds hammer and nail this day to put through temples. And yes, if thou still wonder, hammer and nail. And there on the door, if you know history, justification by faith alone. 95 theses nailed. Hammer and nail. And so he's come today to put hammer and nail through mindsets and unsound persuasion, ungodly religion, whatever it is, hammer and nail right through it. You say, well, it's all by works. I'm squeaky clean. I've done my part. You know, I'm a good person. Justification by faith alone. Well, I belong to a church. I go to church. It's not going to get you into glory. It's a personal relationship. and the one who took hammer and nail. For those of you who do not know him today, if you're reconciled unto God, he's reaching out today, those same hands that were pierced and those feet. It's Jesus calling.